Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Millennia ago, our forebears fell in love. They fell madly head over heels in love with a God who first loved them. A God who loved them enough to rescue them, liberate them from slavery, escort them to safety, and provide for them all along the way. They fell in love, madly head over heels in love with the God above all gods, author of the universe, master of the whirling planets, the one who put the blue in lapis lazuli, the one who designed orchids and fashioned giraffes, the one who breathed life into Adam, and by whose breath we ourselves are daily sustained. And since ancient times, people of faith have struggled to discern how to show love and gratitude toward this God who first loved us. Since ancient times, people of faith have fashioned and devised gifts for God as an expression of gratitude, love, and adoration. Giving gifts to those whom we love is one of the great pleasures of life. During my marriage, before my husband Peter died, I loved to bring him presents. I delighted in thinking up or happening upon or making or planning just the right gift. I wished by this gift giving to make Peter happy, to gladden his heart, to let him know who he was to me. Presenting Peter with gifts was one of the ways I expressed to him my gratitude that he was in my life, and one of the ways I sought to assure him that he was indeed the object of my affection, my love, and my thoughts. Now, I was not always 100% successful, however, in the gifts I chose. I would like to have presented Peter with just the right CD, or just the right art book, or tickets to just the right opera. But these were areas in which I was less confident, areas in which I felt somewhat inadequate compared to Peter's great knowledge. And so I found myself reverting to things about which I felt some confidence. And so it was that I too often presented him with things about which he actually cared very little. A tie, a belt, a shirt. And still, whether or not he was thrilled by the gift itself, I know he cherished the thought. We do sometimes give gifts that reveal more about ourselves than about the one to whom we are giving the gift. For instance, this past Valentine's Day, I received a most wonderful gift from Sam Byers. Many of you know Sam. He is 8 years old, a member of this congregation, son of Daryl and Maggie. On Valentine's Day, Sam presented me with a gift of a superhero action figure. I cherish it, of course, but I did have to Google this gift to learn just how special it really is. I learned that he is named Iron Man. I learned that he is invincible. He possesses the ability to fly faster than a jet plane. He has, incredible repulsor blasters and missiles. And, now this is, you know, what really did it for me. I learned that Iron Man is the most powerful high-tech superhero in the world. So imagine how special it made me feel to have been presented with such a gift. Or, here's another example. Many of you know Willie Sordillo of the Willie Sordillo Trio, who leads our Thursday evening jazz worship service. Well, Willie is recently returned from a mission trip to the Pentecostal Church of Chile, a church with whom we are in partnership with the United Church of Christ. The Pentecostal Church of Chile has developed in recent years a tender outreach to prostitutes, inviting them in off the street, providing them with health care, job training, parenting classes, child care, and of course welcoming them warmly into the life of Christian faith. This ministry has transformed, in fact, it has saved the lives of many women. In gratitude for what they have received, in profound thanksgiving to the God who rescued them, calling them from death to life, from sin to salvation. These former and reformed ladies of the night got together to surprise the bishop of the Pentecostal Church of Chile with a gift of their own devising, a liturgical dance which they themselves choreographed and performed. Willie Sordillo confessed to me that as he watched those women dance, those limbs, those torsos, it took, he said, a mighty effort to focus the mind and heart on the things of God. We do sometimes give gifts that reveal more about ourselves than about the one to whom we are giving them. But that's okay, isn't it? It's the thought that counts. So, if you are a people that have fallen madly in love, head over heels, with a God who first loved you, how on earth do you express that love? How do we assure our God that God is indeed the object of our affections, the one to whom we are loyal above all others? What gift can we bring? What do you get for a God who has everything? Well, ancient Israel discerned several ways to please this amazing God, to thank God and to show their love and adoration. First, by responding in kind. If God loves us, we ought also to love one another. If God liberates slaves, loves justice, cares for the dispossessed, acts with healing and mercy, then so too shall we. But then they came up with another idea as well. Like Sam Byers and like reformed prostitutes in Chile, and like spouses in love, they agreed together that they could plan and devise, compose and present gifts that come from their own hearts, gifts from what we as humans know and love and what we can do. And so it is that since ancient times, people of faith have sought to gift our God with music, with instrument and song, with banners and processionals, making of our own bodies, our voices, our tongues, our lungs, our hands and our feet, even our limbs and our torsos, into instruments of praise and thanksgiving to this living God who first loved us. Worship, this thing that we have gathered here to do, and for which we gather week in and week out, this is an act of love, a gift, a present to our God. It is our glad response to the God who loves and liberates slaves, who authored the universe and gives us life, It is our glad response to the God who comes to us in frail flesh on Christmas morning, who suffers for us on Good Friday, who companions us in the valley of the shadow of death, who for us breaks the bonds of death on Easter Day. The God of Jesus who ate with sinners, with tax collectors and prostitutes. Through this act of worship, we hope to gladden the heart of our God, to prove that God is the object of our affections, to express our profound adoration. The psalmist summons us, make a joyful noise, worship God with gladness, enter God's gates with thanksgiving, give thanks and bless God's holy name. And so it is that since ancient times, music, and especially the organ, has been judged to achieve something of what is wanted in this matter. The Talmud, a central text in Judaism, describes in detail the many instruments that were used in the ancient temple in Jerusalem, instruments used to raise a glad sound that might even reach the ears of heaven. And among them, the Talmud describes the organ in the ancient temple in Jerusalem, an organ contemporaneous with Jesus, which he would likely have heard. It is reported to have been powered by hydraulics, to have emitted as many as 1,000 different musical sounds, and it was boasted of this ancient instrument that it could be heard as far away as Jericho. The organ has volume. It has majesty, profundity, complexity. It can be thunderous and throbbing, high and sweet, gentle and melodic. It can hold a chord like no other instrument on earth. Now, and Harry, you don't have to listen to this, or Charlie either. The truth is, we cannot know for sure whether God is, in fact, thrilled with the organ, any more than those women in Chile could know for sure whether the bishop would truly appreciate their liturgical offering. It is possible we have gotten it wrong. It is possible that God prefers acoustic guitar. But the point is that we do our level best to offer to God the sacrifice of praise with the grandest, loudest, most majestic noisemaker we can imagine. Not unlike Sam Beyer's gift to me, a gift of the most powerful high-tech superhero in the world. So we come to this place, you and I, descendants of those early forebears, we come to this place also to serenade our God with the E.M. Skinner organ, hoping that if this instrument can reach from Jerusalem to Jericho, it has a chance of reaching to heaven. And whether or not this is, in the end, God's favorite instrument, we can hope and pray that God will cherish our very best efforts. In the end, we are here to give God our thanks and praise. We bring to this labor of love all that we are and all that we have, and we do it because we are in love with God and we can't help ourselves. Do I hear an amen?